It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the book of John, chapter 5, we read of a place that was a pool or a body of water. And there were people who were gathered around this, and they would do this, and this was done so that they could possibly get into this water, because it is said that an angel would come down at a season and trouble the water, and anyone who could get in that water would be healed of what kind of infirmity they might have. This pool was called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, and it had five porches. And around this pool, these five porches, people would gather. Well, who would gather here? A great multitude, the Bible says, of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, we keep reading, and we find that there was a certain man there who had been, for 38 years. He was infirmed, and he had been that way for 38 years. He was waiting for someone to help him to get into the water, but there was no one to help him. He couldn't get into the water because he was infirmed. He's possibly crippled, I believe. And because he couldn't get in there, he couldn't be healed. And this was the popular belief during that time. Well, there was someone there to help him, not to get into the water, but to be healed. And that person who was there to help him was Jesus Christ. In verse 8 of John 5, it says, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now we keep reading, and we find out that the Jews didn't like this. They didn't like that this man was healed on the Sabbath day. And they liked it even less that there was someone who had healed him on the Sabbath day. Well, they answered, and they asked him who had done this, who had made him well. He didn't know. All he knew was, according to verse 11, it says that he told him to take up his bed and walk. Well, later on, we keep reading. And we read in verse 13, And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus just blended in with the crowd. Well, now, afterward, according to verse 14, Jesus findeth the man in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Well, the man departs. And according to verse 15, he told the Jews then that it was Jesus. He saw Jesus. He recognized him in the temple, and Jesus told him, Don't sin anymore. But the man now tells the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. Verse 16 goes on to say, and says, Therefore the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Why? Because he had healed someone on the Sabbath day. When verse 17, Jesus answered them, My Father which worketh hitherto, and I work. The Father's working, and I'm working. I'm doing what my Heavenly Father wants me to do. Verse 18, the Jews, the Bible says, sought even the more to kill Jesus because he was making himself equal with God by saying God was his Father. Well, Jesus answered them in verse 19 and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus had gotten his marching orders from the Father. We get our marching orders from Jesus. We as Christians are told to go into all the world, teach, preach, and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go into all the world and tell people how to be saved. And then after they get saved, instruct them according to the Word of God as to the things in their lives. The first thing is to get baptized, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Because Jesus Christ said to go into all the world and teach and preach. In other words, tell people how to be saved and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what we're to do. We're to go forth and we are to tell people, according to the book of Matthew, what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus got his marching orders, if you want to put it that way, from the Father. We get our marching orders from Jesus, go into all the world. Verse 20 says, for the Father loveth the Son. Jesus loves us. He laid down his life for us. He loved us. The Father loved Jesus. Jesus loves us. The verse goes on to say, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Greater things would happen because of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing I believe is that Jesus Christ is able to give life to people who are dead in trespasses and sins. We're going to read about that. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Well, who does he will to be quickened or to be made alive? Jesus wants everybody to be saved. In other words, made alive. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So who do you and I take the gospel to? Who do we tell about Jesus Christ? We tell whosoever. In other words, we tell everybody about Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ will quickeneth whom he will. And those whom he will are those people who call upon his name. Verse 22 says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now we go back and we read verse 21 and we read about death, dead, and quickeneth. We're going to be raised one day. We're going to be raised up in the air. Jesus comes back before we taste death in this life, before the breath of life goes out of us. We're going to be raised in the rapture of the church. We're going to go up to be with Jesus Christ. He's going to get rid of this old body that we're in now, and he's going to quicken us. He's going to give us a new body fashioned like his. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We are quickened when we're saved. The Bible says that people are dead in trespasses and sins. I believe that as we look around and we see people without Jesus Christ, we're seeing dead men walking and women. We're seeing people who are dead in trespasses and sins because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Dead people walking around, that's those people without Jesus Christ. But notice verse 22 says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all the judgment to whom? Jesus Christ, unto the Son. So when we go up in the rapture of the church, we're not going to be judged for our sin. We're not going to be judged whether or not we're saved or not and going to heaven. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ where everybody will receive. That's those people who are saved and with him at that time in the rapture. People will receive those things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Some will receive reward and some will suffer loss. In other words, you're going to get rewards or you're not going to get rewards. Jesus Christ is the judge. But it goes even further than that. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now you may or may not have heard of the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is not for the saved person, but it's for those people who do not trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That person who died yesterday without Jesus Christ is in hell right now, waiting for the white throne judgment. And those people who died 1,000 years ago, they're waiting for the white throne judgment. Those people who die tomorrow without Jesus Christ as Savior, they're in hell, and they're waiting for the white throne judgment. Well, who's going to be the judge at the white throne judgment? Well, what we just read here, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ, the same person who's willing to save them today, those people who stand at the white throne will be their judge. And it's sad that when they stand there, there's no more of a chance to receive him as Savior. He's now the judge. And the Bible teaches us that he will look at those people and he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And their names will be blotted out of the book of life. It's just as if they had never been born. No remembrance of those individuals cast into the lake of fire after the white throne judgment. So not only will Jesus Christ be the judge at the judgment seat of Christ, he'll judge us, those who are saved, not for salvation, but because we are saved. He will also be the judge at the white throne, where all those individuals who have never trusted him will stand and bow the knee. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's too late to be saved. They'll be cast into outer darkness, into the lake of fire. Verse 23 of John 5 says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. When you honor Jesus Christ, you're honoring the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. God sent his only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. I've talked to individuals, and they've said, well, nobody's ever really figured out what the word begotten means. I believe that, to me, the word begotten means this. He's the only begotten Son of God. You see, when we get saved, we become the sons of God. We become the children of God. We become the sons of God. But we're not the only begotten sons of God. There's only one, Jesus Christ. And that word begotten really tells me that Jesus Christ was never created. He wasn't created because he's God. He always has been. He'll never have an end. And there's those people today who are running around trying to tell individuals that Jesus Christ is a created being. The Bible teaches me that those people do not know Jesus Christ. They do not know the real God. So therefore, they're on their way to hell. Verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's sad that people do not believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. It's sad that people will die in their sins and go to hell. It's sad that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost, and that's not the sad part. The sad part is that there are individuals who do not honor him as the Savior. The book of Matthew tells us that his name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ wants to save those who have never trusted him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're that person. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that there's such a thing as repentance. Some people try to make that into a work where they say you have to do certain things, and that's repentance in order to go to heaven. Well, repentance is changing your mind about who you are, where you're headed without Jesus Christ, and also that you're willing to trust Jesus as your Savior. You have a change of mind. You know that you're a sinner now. You know you can't save yourself. You know the wages of sin is death and eternal torment in the lake of fire. That change of mind means that you're willing now to go God's way and you want Jesus Christ as your Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could bow your head wherever you're at. Even if you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes. You can say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a lost sinner. I know that I need to be saved today, and I receive you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior right now. Please save me so one day I'll see you personally. I want to go to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.